Hello, I'm Peter Goodwin, and in this edition of Audio News from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, we're delighted to be able to tell you that $46 million has been given to the London School to help in the global battle against malaria, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS. It's been given by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Well, I popped in to see Andy Haynes to ask him if he thinks this new money will really make a difference.
This grant will really give us an opportunity to expand our research activities in a number of these areas. It's a very, very significant award. In total, it totals up to around $60 million. Not a single award, but a number of awards coming together at the same time. The largest of these will focus on malaria, and it will focus on evaluating new combination therapies, particularly artemisinin combination therapies for malaria, and look at a variety of ways of delivering those combinations. It will have a number of different components. It will evaluate different approaches to improving access to these new treatments, different ways of improving drug targeting to determine that make sure that these drugs are used rationally, and that because they're much more expensive drugs, it's very important that they're not used for trivial reasons and not used for people who don't have malaria.
Of course, the big problem is it's not just getting new drugs, it's delivering them and installing whole systems in countries where infrastructure communications may not be all that easy. So what sort of research priorities do you have in mind to overcome these intrinsic difficulties?
Well, the programme will look at ways of delivering these antimalarials in countries where, as you say, health systems are weakened and fragmented. And that means looking at all the possibilities in a particular country. So we know that in some countries, for example, private drug sellers would be the place that people would get their medication. And so we can't ignore those people. They have to be factored into any program to promote effective and efficient prescribing of antimalarials. So as well as the formal health system, where it's robust, we'll also be looking at less formal ways of delivering antimalarials as well.
You're talking about antimalarials. Now, that's a very big part of this new push. But HIV and tuberculosis are also important. These diseases also overlap in many countries, don't they?
Yes, they do indeed. The work that we've been funded to do on TB in this particular round of funding is actually more in the laboratory. And it's being led by Professor Ulrich Scheibler, who's professor in immunology here. And he's received $3.6 million to develop a reporter imaging system to test the efficacy of TB drugs. So this will be using a new approach. It will be based in our Category 3 facility, and it will involve a consortium of other institutions as well. And the research really aims to develop a straightforward and affordable imaging system, which will help to find and identify new and efficient drugs for TB, especially to those which can act against latent or persistent bacteria, which are found in about 90% of affected people.
These are much needed areas of research, and it's probably fair to say that the London School is spearheading some of the world's main efforts against diseases like malaria. But at the end of the day, will this $60 million or so really make a great deal of difference in terms of the numbers of human lives saved?
Well, we believe it will, because it's going to be very, very important, particularly to evaluate ways of getting these new combination therapies out to make sure they're not misused, because there is a real potential for harm if things are handled badly. So, for example, these are relatively expensive medications. And if they're used in the wrong way, there could be a rapid increase in resistance to these new medications. So it's very important to get the delivery right. And also, we need to evaluate the side effects that might be caused by giving these medications repeatedly, for example, to children. Because the research that's done up to now has often been in ideal settings where they've been given once and then the population's been followed up. In real life, of course, it's not like that, particularly in Africa, where you've got children having repeated infections. And therefore, we need to look at the safety of giving these medications repeatedly over long periods. So part of the research will be to develop pharmacovigilance systems, which will detect adverse drug reactions in various groups.
What sorts of messages would you give to the world's doctors and healthcare professionals about the practical ways that these diseases, especially let's think about malaria, are going to be treated thanks to the work that you're now doing?
Well, there's a number of approaches to malaria. Of course, treatment is only one of them. There's also the important work on prevention, and that involves, for example, distribution of insecticide-treated nets. And the school has been pioneering quite a lot of research that led to the development of the insecticide-treated nets, and also, again, has evaluated their impact, not just on the individuals, but also on the communities that use nets. It's also increasingly looking at ways of delivering those nets and comparing different approaches to the delivery of them, particularly with a view to ensuring that there's equitable distribution of the bed nets. So we're involved really right the way from some of the basic science into the clinical trials, but also very much at the sort of delivery end and the health policy end.
Andy Haynes, Director of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. And one of the areas being funded is malaria in pregnancy. Presently, it's not known just how best to combine the use of insecticide-treated bed nets, for example, with intermittent drug therapy for pregnant women. And this and many other economic factors for fighting malaria can vary from one country to another. So, Cara Hansen and her colleagues are planning research in three continents and also making statistical models that can predict just what the priorities should be in any particular place. She explained to Derek Thorne what are the big questions they hope to answer.
The first question is about the economic burden of malaria in pregnancy, and that is both the burden of preventing and treating malaria in pregnancy, but also the burden of low birth weight as a consequence of malaria in pregnancy. The second is a set of questions around the costs and cost effectiveness of interventions, and that includes case management during pregnancy, and also different strategies to prevent malaria during pregnancy, including intermittent presumptive treatment and the use of insecticide-treated nets.
Okay, now looking at the first, when we're talking about the economic burden of pregnancy, this must mean a number of different things. We're not just talking about the burden of getting treatment so that a pregnant woman can be treated for malaria, is that right?
That's right. That would include, we'd normally include in the definition of economic burden, both the costs of care seeking, but also ideally the costs of lost productivity, because obviously women take a lot of time when they're trying to get to a health facility, and we would try to capture some of that lost productivity. It's much more difficult in the case of women and mothers, because their roles aren't purely economic in a narrow sense. It's terribly difficult to begin to put a price tag on the cost of time that would otherwise have been spent doing household production issues, looking after children, making meals and whatnot.
I presume it's critical that you are looking at various different parts of the world, because these different factors must vary enormously between those parts of the world.
Absolutely. It would depend partly on the types of malaria, because we're looking at different burdens arising from falciparum malaria and from vivax malaria. It also depends on the nature of the health system, what sort of care that women are able to get, and what the distribution of costs is between the government, for example, and their own out-of-pocket payments. It would depend on the level of transmission, whether you're looking at places where there is annual year-round transmission or whether transmission only takes place in part of the year. And that would affect the frequency with which you're able to deliver and need interventions.
Cara Hansen talking to Derek Thorne about just one of the many new initiatives in malaria, TB and HIV/AIDS from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. And you can be sure we'll keep you posted on the important messages coming out of these studies in future editions of Audio News. But that's all for now, so from Derek Thorne and from me, Peter Goodwin, goodbye.